Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome. It's great to see so many of you for Deacon Robbins and I. This is Mass number 3, and it's all been packed. It's probably about a couple hundred, maybe about 500 to 600 people here, and so it was at 8 o'clock, and then at noon, and then so now the evening one, and then we'll have another Mass at 7 p.m. in Spanish, and that will be jam-packed as well. And I always ask in all the Masses we did, I always began with, who else is hungry right now, huh? Oh, I'm hungry on Ash Wednesday. You know it, on Ash Wednesday, as Catholics, we fast. We fast, we withhold from food. We abstain from meat, as we do. So no meat today. And on Fridays during Lent as well. I see somebody already hanging your heads in shame. Don't worry, we're just starting out, so we'll give you a little leeway. It's hard. But what else are you giving up for Lent? It's always fun to ask each other, what are we doing? That's hard. I was going to share one of the things that I'm personally doing. As you know, many of you know, I'm Filipino-American, born here in the States. Parents are from the Philippines. You know what I'm giving up? Rice. Rice. And yes, you know, you're Filipino, you know how painful to the soul that is. But happily so. And give that up for our Lord. What else are you guys giving up? Something that's hard.
Coffee.
I couldn't give up coffee. That's one of my favorite addictions, is coffee. Fasting. Almsgiving. Prayer. The three stools of Lent, which we intensify during these next 40 days. One of the biggest seminaries in the city of Rome is the North American College. Fully, it's called the Pontifical North American College. And in the seminary time, especially now, all of the seminarians, those who are training to be priests, oh, the fasting is hard there too. They feed us just peanuts and twigs, grass, if we're lucky. So the Americans, the United States, we have the second largest in Rome. And it was originally founded in 1858 by Pope Pius IX. What was going on in that particular period was that the Pope saw the United States growing. And everybody knew the United States would be a tremendous power on the world stage. We were in the full swing of the Industrial Revolution. Thousands upon thousands of your ancestors, so if you have Irish blood in you, Italian blood, German stock, Polish stock in you, this is when Ellis Island, the hundreds of thousands of them were coming from Europe to the United States. And the Pope saw this, but he was worried. Because the United States is largely a Protestant nation. And so the Pope was worried that as all these Irish Catholics, Italian Catholics, Polish Catholics, Germans were coming to the United States, that they would lose their faith. And this is the period where we built the largest education system the United States have ever seen. This is when we started building up our hospital network. And so part of the plan for the Pope was, we need to train priests, American priests, here in the city of Rome, so that way when they will go back to the United States, they will solidify the bonds between Rome and our nation. And so the Pope gave the United States a beautiful piece of property, just 2 blocks from the Trevi Fountain. But then, of course, like we do in the United States, we build bigger. And so as the seminary grew and grew, the Pope gave us a more beautiful property just right next to Vatican City on this magnificent hill. It's one of the highest peaks in the entire city of Rome, called the Janicolo Hill. And from it, probably the most stunning views in that whole city, because you get to see from the roof of the seminary, you can see the skyline of Rome, and then right next to it, you can see the magnificent dome, massive dome of St. Peter's Basilica rising. When I was a seminarian there, we're about 200 young men. And if you ever visited the seminary, when you walk in the main lobby, the marble floor, you have on the floor directly this huge coat of arms of the seminary. And it's emblazoned with the logo of the North American College. And it greets every guest and it greets every new seminarian that arrives there. And it boldly proclaims in Latin, "Firmum est cor meum." Remain steadfast, my heart. It quotes Psalm 108. Remain steadfast, my heart. And that's a fantastic quote for a young man moving to Rome, especially back in the early days before we had airplanes. Because when you went to Rome from the United States, you went there for years. You didn't go home or see your family or your friends. Because it was hard to go back and forth from Europe into the United States. We had to go on a boat. And so you can imagine. Do you remember when you first left home? For the first time? Going to college or moving out, getting married? You can imagine all those young men, those Americans, coming to a strange culture, not speaking the language, homesick, longing for the taste of mom's cooking. And so you can kind of see why the heart can become troubled. And in many ways, that's what Joel is speaking about in the first reading today. Isn't it true that our hearts are fickle? We have fickle hearts, don't we? It goes after many different things. That's why in the first reading today, did you hear Joel? He's telling them. God speaking now through the first reading says, "Return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to me." Now, whenever Scripture speaks of the word heart, our English translation tends to fail us here. Because in English, when we hear the word heart, we tend to think of mere superficial feelings. But when Scripture speaks of the word heart, it's a lot deeper. In Hebrew, it's leb. And it is the deepest core of the human being. So whenever you hear the word heart, when it says here, "Return to me with your whole heart," what the Scripture is saying, from the core, from the depth of your being, return to me. Because our hearts are terribly fickle. The most famous Bible verses in the Old Testament, even to those practicing Jews today, they still recite this Bible verse multiple times. It is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. So important is this Bible verse that they actually write it down and they put it in a special container next to their front door. And as the Jews leave their house to go out into the world, they tap it, they touch it. In a very similar way, just like many of you when you entered in here or when you're about to leave Mass in a few hours. What do you do as Catholics? What do? We put our finger in the holy water font and we make the sign of the cross. Why? Because we know that when we go outside those doors, we're going to enter into the world. And the world is full of distractions and temptations, all strategically designed to get the human heart to fall in love with it and away from God. All of the shiny, shimmering things that the world always entices us with. It's the same thing now as it was back in our Lord's day. And so the Jews, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7, they tap that just like the Catholic. They put our finger in the holy water font. And that Bible verse is, in Hebrew, Shema Israel Adonai, Eloheinu Adonai Chadad. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul. Why do they do that? Because this heart goes after so many things. Firmum est cor meum. When they asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment? He asked, you see this in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Remember what our Lord said? He directly quotes again Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because they asked him, Jesus, how do I get into eternal life? How do I get into heaven? And the same thing, Jesus repeats it. Love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Those four qualities. You want to get into heaven? Love God. All of your leb, strength, mind, and soul. But it's hard. Because so many things want to take us away from God. And so what are we to do? St. Paul magnificently says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I willingly boast of my weakness. For it is when I am weak, is that now the power of God is able to work through me. Right there. During this holy season of Lent, you know what we're doing? We are purposely making ourselves weak. That's what it does. If we live Lent to a spiritual genius, we are essentially making ourselves weak. Why? What is fasting? I am making myself physically weak by not eating. What is almsgiving? Well, we give more of our money back to God, back in charity. Well, what is that doing? Well, essentially, I'm making myself financially weaker. Well, what is prayer? Well, prayer is I am dedicating this period of time daily and giving it to God. Weakness is the goal. Deacon Rob and I have smeared a lot of foreheads today with dirt. And we'll do so again today. And as all of you come up to receive those blessed ashes, we will tell you, remember you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. It is a beautiful reminder that all that we see, all of the distractions that the world holds up, reveals the truth. All of its money, power, honor, and pleasure, all of its glitter, glory, and majesty that it appears to be, will all fade away. All of it will be gone. And as we smear those crosses on your forehead, I must warn you, if you come in my line, you know what I see when I see your forehead? I see a beautiful canvas. Oh, I'm going to paint that canvas like Michelangelo did to the Sistine Chapel. I want to make a huge cross on your forehead. Magnificent cross. You take a picture of that cross. You take a picture and you post it on social media. You just make sure it's copyrighted. Just attribute it to my name. Huh? And we will remind you that we all die. And our hearts must be focused on things that truly last. One final note. As you see, imagine as you walked in here, notice the color of the vestments that during Holy Lent we wear. We've shifted to the color purple. In the first century, there was only one man that could wear purple in the Roman Empire. Only one man. In fact, if you wore purple, you could be killed. Only one man could wear this color. Do you know who it was? The Roman Emperor. Only he could wear purple. And it represented all of his power, all of his worldly majesty and influence. Rome at that time, period in the first century, was 70 million people. It stretched from the shores of northern England all the way to the desert sands of Syria. The mighty Roman Empire, whom that man who would wear purple could, a snap of his finger, call down thousands of legions upon any nation and squash them if he wanted. Only he can wear purple. Now look in the beautiful irony that the Catholic Church, which has supplanted the Roman Empire, now takes that royal purple, once designated only for emperors. We now wear it on the saddest days of penance and suffering. Oh, the glorious irony. The ashes, the purple, forces us to remember. Oh, my heart, stop running after the things of the world. Rather, Shema Israel Adonai. Eloheinu Adonai Chadad. Love God with all of your heart, mind, strength, and soul.